Amen. Well, good morning. Glad that you're here this morning. Take your Bibles, turn to the book of Romans chapter number 12. And when you found your place, if you'll stand with me. Thankful once again for the opportunity to preach. And thankful, even though you knew I was preaching, you came anyway. So that's a blessing. You know, it's not fun to preach when nobody's out there. So thankful that you're here. And no doubt, God has a message today, not me. God has a message for you today out of His Word. So I'm thankful that you're here. And I was kind of sad this morning, though. It seems that Trevor's run out of stories, and he's only been here less than a year. He's exhausted the entire internet. No, I'm sure he'll be back with one next week. So make sure you're in your spot. You never know. He might find a new resource. Romans chapter number 12, we're going to be talking about this subject of love one another, from Romans chapter number 12, starting in verse number 1, we're just going to read through the chapter this morning. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, with diligence. He that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another, with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Let's pray this morning. Father, I'm so grateful for your goodness and the opportunity to preach your word this morning. God, we need a message from you today. And so, God, I pray that as the word is communicated, that you would speak to hearts, that you'd challenge us, and that you'd help us to be more like you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. If you didn't know, I have 7 kids. I know that's a lot of kids. And they don't hardly sit with us anymore. There's a couple up here, but you don't usually see them all together, but there's 7 of them. And when you put 7 children in a home, they're not always nice to each other. Anybody have that problem in their home? They're not. In fact, sometimes they're downright mean to one another. And I'm like, do you guys even like each other? Like, you don't even act like you like each other. What's going on? And sometimes I'm thinking, is this normal? Are my kids normal? Are all kids that mean to each other, like brothers and sisters and things like that? And then I was on a, you know, it's holidays. I was FaceTiming my brother the other day. So we're just talking and everything. And he brings up something from when he was like 5 or 6 years old that he remembers about me. He was telling me the story about how I gave him a jalapeno and told him it was a pickle and made him eat it. And he remembers to this very day. So I guess meanness is kind of innate in siblings sometimes. God knows that sometimes we just naturally have a tendency to want to be mean sometimes or rude or much more concerned about ourselves than we are the other people that are around us. And when we look at Romans chapter number 12, we're going to find that it is kind of a guideline for us to get to the place where we are loving people like God loves us. And that's where he wants us to be. If you were here last Sunday night, I preached a message entitled The Discipline of Friendship, and really kind of gave a testimony of how God is just, he has just been working overtime on me about being a better friend, being a better help to others, being more concerned about others than I am myself. And so if you haven't listened to that, I encourage you, get on the app, get on the website, listen to that, because it's one message that God really used to change my life in just the recent history, you know, just doing a work in my heart and in my life that I can see evidence that he's using it in other people's lives, and they're taking those same principles and God's using them over and over and over again. So I guess it's just been on my heart a lot. And so when we come across Romans chapter number 12, we see this guideline, this guide to help us to get to that place. Where do we start? How do we get to the place where we are much more concerned about other people than we are ourselves, or we're not so overcome with all of the things that are going on in our lives that we're able to be a help to somebody else? Well, John chapter number 13, verse number 34 and 35 says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." In those short two verses, Jesus Christ is speaking, and he gives it three times. He's commanding us to love one another, to care for one another, not to just do it generally speaking, not to just every now and then be kind to one another, but it says to love as I have loved you. That's a high bar, amen? That's a high bar. 1 Peter 4:8 says, "And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover a multitude of sins." And in 1 John 4:7, it says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God." Not only does he say that we should love one another, that we should care for one another, and we should do it like Christ, but he's saying that I want you to go out and do this and love people like I've loved you for a purpose, because other people are looking at your life. They're seeing if you're self-absorbed, if you're consumed with self. And they're seeing if you're actually caring about other people. And he says, this is how they're going to know that what you're saying is true when you go to witness to somebody, when you go to talk to somebody about God. Do you have that love that's from God? Are you showing that kind of love to people? Is there love behind your gospel witness? God has much to say on the subject of loving one another. It's a very simple phrase when you just read it. But when you really analyze what that means, you'll realize that this is something that's going to take some work. Because if you're anything like me, it takes a long time to get myself out of the picture, push myself aside, and start thinking about somebody else. First, we must realize that the love that he's talking about here is not this natural love that comes. It's something that's given to us by God. It's the agape love. He's commanding us. He's wanting us to love unconditionally. This kind of love is not something that comes natural to us. It comes from God. We see that in 1 John 4:8. It is a sacrificial love. It is a selfless love. It puts others' needs above our own. Philippians chapter number 2, verse 5 through 8 says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." I don't know about you, but when I read those verses and I know that I'm commanded to love people like Christ loved me, it seems like an insurmountable task because I know me. I know how much thought that I give to myself and my needs and my wants and my desires. But when I read Scripture and I see what Christ did for me and I dwell upon the things that Christ did for me, it just makes me want to go out and do something for somebody else. Jesus Christ died so that we might have life. His entire existence was for the good of others. So Paul's writing from prison in Ephesus. He says, "Let this mind be in you." The first of the Ten Commandments state that we are to have no other gods before him. Yet, in America, millions of people, even so-called Christians, have erected a god that they bow down to on a daily basis. What are you talking about, Brother David? This isn't like some far-off Eastern mysticism. This is not some place where we set up a Buddha statue and we have all these other things that we worship. This is America. We don't have those things. Well, do we? Millions have been duped into believing that this God will take care of all their needs, that they have been misled into thinking that this God can satisfy their needs. This God has manipulated children. It has manipulated teenagers, adults, and even the elderly across our great land. This God has taken the throne that was intended for the one true God, Jehovah, and no one seems to be up in arms about it. We see it all the time around us. And it's not like we go around and like we would see a statue and say, "Oh man, look, they're worshiping that idol over there." We don't say that about this God. In fact, we walk by it all the time. And sometimes even in our own homes, and we don't say a word about it. Even some churches have embraced this God. They have adapted their worship. They have changed their message. And now this God has taken over the very places that were meant to be the body of Christ. How did this happen? Who is this God that has control over so many today? Well, this God that we're talking about is known by the name of self. Self. In America, if we were going to have a God that was erected, that everybody's bowing down to, that would be the name of it, is self. If we are ever going to have a right relationship with other people and to be able to love other people like we ought to love them, then we've got to do point number one in your notes there. We have to dethrone self. We have to dethrone self. You're never going to get to the place where you can care for another person's needs if we can't first dethrone self. And your first point there under that is live sacrificially. Look at verse number one. "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." In the Old Testament, when they brought sacrifices to the temple, the priest took the sacrifice and went through the process of offering it to God. The person that brought the sacrifice didn't have anything to say about what happened to the sacrifice once it was brought. You see, a sacrifice is a silent gift to be used however needed. It is to be given. The giver was removing himself of any ownership of it. And we are commanded to be this living sacrifice. And if we're going to dethrone self, we have to realize that, first of all, we need to bring our bodies and say, God, I am not my own. I am bought with a price, and I want to glorify you in my body and in my spirit, which are yours. God, I want to make sure you have ownership. And when you bring something to God, you bring yourself to God and you say, God, I want to do this for you. You know, it's like somebody saying, you know, Brother David, I got this check for you. We're gonna give this big $10,000 check to the church. I'm giving it to the Lord. We're sacrificing. We're giving this to the church. But I want you to do this, 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 and this with it. And if you don't do all these things, then we're taking it back. You know, it's not really a sacrifice. It's not really something that you're just giving and you're saying, I want this to be an offering to the Lord for him to do with it what he pleases. And sometimes when we bring ourselves to God, we say, God, I will do this, and I don't know if I'm not going to do this, but, you know, I've got time, you know, I've got 10 minutes here, God. I've got, oh, God, I don't have any time this week. God, I don't have any time this month. Have you seen my schedule, God? And God is saying, listen, if you are going to love people the way that you're commanded to love people, first of all, you got to bring yourself to God and say, God, I am yours. I am yours. Do with me what you will. Dethrone self. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 through 20 says, what? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God? You're not your own, for you're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. If we are going to have the right relationship with one another, we must give our body, mind, soul, and strength to the work that God is going to do, wants to do. He desires to do it. And I'll put it this way, here at Bethany Baptist Church, I'm not ashamed. I want this church to take off in 2025. I want us to be worried about where people are going to sit, what people are going to do. I want us to have to figure out, are we going to go to two services? Are we going to go to three services? What are we going to do? Expanding our children's ministries. Look at all these teenagers. We keep adding more teenagers. Our college ministry is growing. We're going to do all these things. And that's my desire. But when you ask yourself, God, I'm giving myself to you this year. I'm sacrificing myself to you this year. If I could encourage you with anything, I would say, why don't you put it out there and say, God, no strings attached. Here I am, God, no strings attached. Do with me what you will. And I guarantee you, if you'll do that, you say, but I don't know how to do this, and I don't know how to do that, and I can't stand children. So I'm telling you, God, you come to God and you say, no strings attached. God will, he will give you everything you need to do what he's commanded you to do. Next point there, live transformed. Live transformed. Sacrifice. Bring yourself to the Lord, but also live transformed. Look at verse number 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Remember Paul, he's a Pharisee of the Pharisees. They look down on others because of their own self-righteousness. And he says here, for I say through the grace given unto me. Paul recognizes that God is the one that freed him from this life of pride. And he exhorts us to think, not to think higher of ourselves than we ought to think. And so I would give a warning. When you step out and you say, no strings attached, and God begins to bless you, and God begins to use you, there's like these warnings that go up in my mind. To all those that serve and serve and serve, be careful not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. Maybe you've got it figured out. Maybe this past year you read your Bible every single day and you prayed every single day. And maybe this was not even the first time that you've done it, but you've done that every year. And you've got to this year and you're going well and you've not missed a day and you're doing great. I'm telling you, don't get to the place where you start thinking, I've got this whole Christian walk thing down. Like, I'm doing well. I'm doing great. This church is lucky to have me around here. Be careful. Warning. Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. After all, it's our reasonable service. We ought to be glad that we could spend ourselves on the work of God. Don't look down on others that maybe aren't serving or maybe they're not a place where they are. Don't look down on them. Pray for them. Realize that the only reason that you're in the place that you are is because of God's transforming work in your life. There's one reason that I'm able to work at Bethany Baptist Church and have the opportunity to preach at times. And it's not because David Wood is a great person. It's because God has a transforming work that he desires to do in each one of our lives. And if we let him, then he will show himself. He will work and he will do great things. It says, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. One of the things I love about Bethany, and if you've been here any length of time, you're going to realize this. One of the things I love about Bethany is that we aren't really very good at hierarchy. We're not very good at they're here and they're here and we have this name for this person and this name, you know, like the Catholic Church does, you know, they have like all these different levels that you can be, like you're a black belt Catholic, you know, or I don't know, I don't think that's a thing, but we're not really very good at that here. And that's okay, because I think at the cross we're all equal. Each and every one of us. And if you've come here today and this is your first time to be in church, or man, you've just been struggling and you're trying to get back to this place, you are no different than us. We are all sinners and we deserve the same thing. But each one of us have had the opportunity for God's grace to come and transform our lives. And he desires to do the same thing with you. He desires to transform your life. So, your next point there, live humble. Live humble. I think I missed that one, but that's okay. You've got it now. Live humble. So just to recap that first section, if we're going to love one another, first of all, we got to dethrone self. We got to live sacrificially. We got to live transformed. We got to live humble. And then the next point there, unify in service. Unify in service. God is the one that set up the church. He's the one that instituted it. He's the one that holds it together. He is the one that has the idea. This is not an idea of man. This is God's work. When you look around, you see Bethany Baptist Church, which is the people that are here at Bethany Baptist Church. This is God's idea because we need it. I know there's so many things that are online now, and you can do just about everything you want to do online nowadays. But gathering together as the assembly of the coming together as the congregation into the church body is something special. And first of all, we need to realize that we are interdependent. We are interdependent. Whether you like it or not, we need each other. And together we make up, through the work of the local New Testament church, we make up the body of Christ on earth. We have a job to do. And when one of us is missing, things can get difficult and things become less productive. Let me put it to you this way. So this, just writing out this sermon and doing different things, I am right-handed. Anybody right-handed in here? Anybody left-handed in here? Yep, there's a lot fewer of you lefties, but there's several. More than I thought, actually. I've got two lefties in my house and we're like, you cannot sit at certain points of the table, okay? You have to sit over there in the corner. No, I'm just kidding. But it's real. Actually, it's real because I don't want their elbow in my face. So, but as I'm typing this, I'm thinking just about how we are a body. And I'm typing this and I'm thinking, okay, I've got a right hand and I've got a left hand. What if my left hand was gone? Just, you know, I don't use it that much. I just don't use it. And I'm typing this sermon and I don't know about, I can type without looking at the keyboard, and I've been doing it for years and years and years, and I don't think a whole lot about it. But I took my left hand out and I started typing. And you know what happened? Lots of errors. So if the rest of this message is pretty messed up, that's why, okay? But when I take it out of the picture and it's not there, you know what happened? I had to start looking down here at the keyboard, which made it a lot less productive up here because I could see errors, and now I'm going back and forth and I'm doing all this, and it's going to take way longer to accomplish what I need to accomplish. You may think that your role at Bethany Baptist Church doesn't matter a whole lot, and you being here doesn't matter. But I'm telling you, when you're gone and you're not here and you're not plugged in like you should be, we're a lot less productive than we should be for Christ. We need you in your place doing the work of God moving forward in 2025. Because we're interdependent. When you're not here, there's several that have been sick, or maybe they're out of town, and we understand all those things. But there's some that they've been gone for months. And we text them and we call them and it hurts because they're just not here with us. They had a part and they were doing something and we miss them. But I'm telling you, get plugged into your church. We're interdependent. Find out what you can do, how you can serve, and serve with all your might, because it's God's work. You're going to love one another. You're going to help one another. You're going to have to get involved in serving. So, if one member is missing in the body, it weakens the whole. You have a job to do. All of us are counting on you to be in your place. The children need teachers and helpers. Someone needs to greet people at the door. Visitors need to know that they're welcome. Buildings need to be cleaned. The choir needs to be full. The piano must be played, and on we could go. There's so many opportunities to serve. We need each other. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. So that's what the scripture is saying here to us in the book of Romans. And then the next point there is we are different. We're interdependent, but we're also different. We are different. God, in his creative power, has given us all different personalities and gifts. I don't think I really thought about this a whole lot or understood this a whole lot until I had children. And I'm just going to talk about my children all day today. I hope that's okay with you. But having, you know, you have the same parents and you have seven kids and they all have really different personalities. And you know what? It's true. And I start looking around and I start thinking about the different people that God's put in my life and the different people that I've worked with over the years. And it's so true. We are very different. There are some that are going to be pastors and ministers and teachers. Others are going to have the gift of exhortation and giving and ruling, and on we could go, like it talks about here in our passage. One thing is for sure, God has equipped us with everything that we need right here at Bethany Baptist Church to do the work that he wants us to. He's brought you in here with your unique personality and your gifts to do something for God. Just because someone doesn't speak in front of people doesn't make them less vital to the work that God is doing. God is doing some great things, and we can't say that, oh, well, I don't know what they're doing. I'm telling you, many of you probably don't know who's operating the sound booth right now, but I'm telling you, you're thankful for them, and when things don't go right, you're going to be looking up there, who is that? Who's up there? But I'm telling you, everybody has their purpose and their place. I've never seen my heart, thankfully. I don't want to see that. I've never seen it. But I'm telling you, if it ceases to stop beating like it should every single moment, I'm going to know. And I'm telling you, when you are a vital part, you are a vital part of Bethany Baptist Church. And when you are not here doing what you've been called to do, then it hurts the body. We all have a job to do. So if you're not doing anything, let's get involved. Let's not sit back this year and let somebody else do it. Let's all find out what we can do and get involved serving the Lord. So first we got to dethrone self. And then we got to unify together serving. And then lastly, we need to love one another. We need to love one another. We get ourself out of the picture. Sacrifice ourselves. Give ourselves to the Lord. We have his transforming work in our lives. We live that humble life like Christ lived, and then we begin to serve one another, I'm telling you, it is going to develop some lifelong friendships, some lifelong relationships. And I've said this before, but you want to know who has the greatest relationships in this church with other people in this church? Those that serve together, those that work together, those that labor together, those that experience God's working and God's moving together, those are the people that are going to have the greatest relationships. Love one another. So he's talking to us. Look at verse number 9. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. So your first point there, don't fake it. Don't fake it. Don't come to Bethany Baptist Church and think that you have to put on a face that you have it all together all the time and that there's nothing wrong in your life and you don't have any problems. I'm telling you, we all have problems. We have issues. Richie has lots of them. So, I mean, no, we want each and every person that comes to Bethany Baptist Church to understand that we are just dust. Every single one of us. God created us. We are sinful people, but by the grace of God, he's doing a work in our lives. This word dissimulation is not one that I use every day. Maybe Brother Trevor uses it every day, but I don't use it every day. Dissimulation means assuming a false or counterfeit appearance which conceals the real opinions or purpose. I don't know about you, but I've gone to places like that where it's just a little stuffy, like nobody's forthcoming with who they really are, and you don't feel like you're at home. I hope when you come to Bethany Baptist Church, you feel like this is home. Like, these people I can talk to, there's friends here, there's people that care, there's people that have been through things, there's people that love me here, and that's how we hope that you feel when you come, because that's how we should act as Christians. So don't fake it. Some will serve or do things, and they'll just be expecting something in return. It may be a promotion, acknowledgement, honor, respect, glory, whatever it is that causes someone to serve and to show love for others. But these things belong to God. Glory belongs to God. It doesn't belong to us. So let's be content with what God has given us and serve with a clear conscience. Just come and serve. Don't expect things in return. Don't expect that you're going to get, you know, be a black belt Catholic by the end of the week that you came, you know, the month that you came. I came every Sunday, so does that put me? No, I'm telling you, we're not good at hierarchy here. We're just not good at it. So we're going to come and we're going to serve and we're going to link arms and we're going to do the work of God and we're just going to encourage one another. When you see somebody down, pick them up and help them. Get them moving along. Don't fake it. Why don't you go to that person and you say, don't say, well, man, you look rough. I've never been like that. I've never gone a day without reading my Bible before. I don't know how that is. How can you live as a Christian and you've missed a day of reading your Bible? No, not like that. You come and you sit next to them and you just say, listen, I've been where you are. I know it's tough. I know it's a struggle. You help bring them along. Don't put this face on like you've got it all together and that you have it all figured out, because there's not one of us that do. Don't fake it. Come before the Lord and just do the work that God's called you to. Don't do it with dissimulation or this fake pretense. And then nextly, move to action. All of this, we can have all this change that's going on inside of us, but if we don't do anything with it, then it's not going to accomplish anything. We need to move to action. 1 John 3:18, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. How are we going to show true, honest, real love to the people that are around us? I'm going to go through these quickly. But first of all, we need to, verse number 10 talks about cherish one another. We need to be kind and tender toward one another. We need to value each other so much that we defer to them. We care more about their needs than we do our own. We need to work hard, be fervent in the spirit, and serve the Lord with energy, with working hard, some vitality, some life, maintaining a good attitude in verse 12 and 14 and 18 through 19, maintaining that good attitude, rejoicing in hope, showing patience, speak well of them that may afflict you, be peaceful and let God take care of the vengeance and injustice. Sometimes we come to church and we can't, nothing can come out of our mouth other than what somebody else did to us. Or did you hear about so-and-so? Or do you hear what's going on here? You know what? Put that stuff out of your mouth. Come to God's house and just say, praise the Lord. We get to come hear from God. We get to sing praises to his name. And I'm going to put those things aside. Somebody comes up to you and they want to bring it up. Just say, let's give it to God and let's move on. You know what? That's going to do a great work in accomplishing much more. That's how you can love one another. And then make the needs of others a priority. Pray for them. Know what's going on in their life. Make sure that you have them to your home. Encourage them. Take them out. Whatever it takes to be a blessing to them. And then this verse number 16 talks about condescending. I know that can be a negative word, but it's in verse number 16. It talks about be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. And basically, this is the way, the Lord's way of saying, hey, like my grandmother used to say, get off your high horse, okay? Get off your high horse. And get out there and serve someone. The gospel is the great equalizer. I love that phrase. I don't know, remember who said it. I heard it somewhere and I wrote it down. The gospel is the great equalizer. We should be pushing ourselves out of our comfort zones so that we might be useful and help others. Don't be afraid to do something new, to help somebody new. Be a help to somebody that is struggling. So, dethrone yourself, unify in service, love one another. And like I said, this subject is broad. It could go many, many different directions. In Romans chapter number 12, you could spend the next month, 2 months, 3 months, a lifetime really studying Romans 12. But I guarantee you, it'll be a help to you. It won't just be a help to you, it'll be help to other people. But I want to back up just for a moment. God's transforming work. If you're here today and maybe you've come to Bethany Baptist Church and you don't know Christ as your Savior, God wants to do that transforming work in your heart. He wants to do that transforming work in your life. If you're here and you say, I want to be a part of something like this that God is doing, but I don't even know if I'm saved, I'm telling you, the reason that Christ came and he died on the cross was not to be a good person or to be an example and all those things. He came to die as a sacrifice to cover your sins. The Bible says that we are that we're all sinners, and that the punishment for that sin is eternal punishment in the lake of fire in hell. But Jesus came; he died on the cross so that we could have eternal life. And I encourage you: if you don't know Christ as your Savior, why don't you let him do that transforming work in your heart today? And I'm telling you, Christian, you're here today, but you're not doing a whole lot for the Lord, and you haven't really surrendered your life to the Lord. I'm asking you, I'm begging you and pleading with you on behalf of Bethany Baptist Church, give your life to God, no strings attached today, and ask him to do the work in you. He will, and to use you however he sees fit in this year to come. Let's have every head bowed, every eye closed.